Well, this is one of the traditions that I like to do with our kids, is we want them to be able to focus on what Christmas is all about. And so we like the opportunity to just to go through and just read the Christmas story to you, okay? And so let's all listen up together as we listen quietly, as we hear about the birth of Jesus Christ. This is in Luke chapter 2 we'll be reading from. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn for them. And there was in that same night shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that he had heard and seen as it was told to them." That is the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. We want to welcome you here for our Christmas service as we look at the theme of the light. Today we'll be looking at the light celebrated. And if you haven't got a chance to hear the rest of these leading up to this service here today, I encourage you to do that and go online and have a listen. And as I look around, we've got a lot of new faces as well. And so before you leave here today, we're going to have a bit of a tea time as well. I know it's Christmas and some of you may want to get home and start lunches and things like that. But if you would stick around for just a moment so we can get a chance to get to know you a little better, we would be grateful for that. And before you leave here today, find somebody you don't know and just welcome them and let them know that you appreciate them being here today as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But I like to find interesting things out in Scripture from time to time. And sometimes I go down these rabbit holes and sometimes I don't come back out. And this is one of those studies that I did several years ago, and I came back and revisited because I've been wanting to do it again. And we're going to be looking at the birthplace of Jesus Christ here this morning. When you picture the birthplace of Jesus Christ, or when you picture the birth of Jesus Christ, what comes to mind? Maybe a cave converted into a stable. Maybe a manger with Mary and Joseph looking at Jesus. Maybe you can imagine a barnyard full of animals and they're all looking at this newborn baby that had just been born. The Bible gives us some details concerning the birth of Jesus Christ, but there are many things that we don't know. Exactly, you know, what was the exact time of Jesus' birth and the date of Jesus' birth? We don't know that for sure. A lot of speculation there. And the location of Jesus is also sometimes in question. Was he born in the back of an inn? Was he born in a stable? Was he born in a cave? How many wise men came on that day? Or was it that day that they came? Was he a child or was he a baby? All these things are debated among people today. And I'll leave you with some of those questions that you can ponder for yourself. But what I would like to explore here today is the possibility of the location of the birth of Jesus Christ, because I found it very intriguing. I found it very interesting, and I hope you will as well. And as we go and we think about the light that's going to be celebrated around this time. And so we've already looked at Luke's account of the Christmas story, so I won't go through and read that again. But I do want to highlight just a few verses that's relevant to our topic here this morning. Because first of all, we see the shepherds abiding. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." So first of all, I want you to notice that they were in the same country. These shepherds were not too far away. Back in the time of David, there was a place that was designed for watching the flock. It was a place called the Tower of Edar, or Migdal Edar. It was on the outskirts of Bethlehem, on the road to Jerusalem. The tower was also known as a watchtower of the flock. And the reason for that is because, as you can see here on the screen, they had these towers that were there. And in Migdal Edar, there was actually a number of towers there, probably more so than any other place. The original design where they got these from was probably during maybe a time of war when the armies could actually go and look out for their enemies and look and see if they can see any enemies coming. So these are why these things were built, so they can get a bit of a heads up with that. But during the time of David, it was used as a place for watching flock. It would aid shepherds in watching for predators, whether they be human or animal. These watchtowers are common over all the land. Oftentimes they're found in vineyards as well for the same reason. These were watchtowers that were built out of stone, and they had a covered platform on top where the guard or the shepherd would be posted. This was the situation where the shepherds would watch the flock that were destined for sacrifices in the temple. Animals that strayed from Jerusalem, any side, as far as Jerusalem up to Migdal Edar, were often used in temple sacrifices. In fact, some have said that the law at this time stated that all temple sacrifices actually had to come from Migdal Edar. Now, in addition to that, it was a settled conviction among the Jews that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, and equally that it was to be revealed from Migdal Edar. So what are we to make of all this information from the writings of these rabbis? Well, first of all, we know that Migdal Edar was the watchtower that guarded the temple flocks, where they were being raised to serve as sacrificial animals for the temple. These were not just any flocks or any herd. These shepherds who kept them were men who were specifically trained for this royal task. They were priestly shepherds. They were well-educated with the requirements of the sacrificial animal had to be. In fact, I was listening to one guy the other day, and he was saying that these guys actually had to go through like the rabbinical school, and so these were actually adults. These weren't kids. I mean, sometimes we think of David, the shepherd boy, and we think the little boys were out there keeping the flock, but not with this particular group. They were priestly shepherds, and so they had to spend sometimes up to 21 years in rabbinical school in order to get that title. They would spend probably the first 11 years just learning the law in Leviticus, and then they spend the next 11 years or so actually learning how to process and how to look for animal sacrifices, the things that they'll be used for, and all the ramifications of that. So these were well-educated men who were responsible for these animals. And it was their job to make sure that none of these animals were hurt or damaged or blemished in any way. And they had to meet all the perfect standards for a sacrifice. Of the herds, the males were often used for burnt offerings and the females were used for peace offerings. So any male that was found within 30 days before the Passover would be used for a temple sacrifice in this area. But also notice the angelic announcement as well. In Luke chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Migdal Adar was a place where the angels appeared to the shepherds. But after spending several weeks studying this, I'm almost convinced that this wasn't just a place where this took place at Migdal Adar, but also there's credible evidence that this could also be the place where Jesus was born. We picture Mary and Joseph going into the inn and discovering that there was no room in the inn, and so they were brought around the back of the inn and shown a stable and said, okay, well, then you can have this. This is all we got left. And they said that's where Jesus was born, and they stuck him in a manger. And this is what I've been led to believe for a number of years, even through most of my ministry, because you know we just never questioned it. But as I spent a lot of time actually developing this concept of Migdal Adar, I think that my mindset has changed to some degree here. I must say that I'm almost convinced that this could be the birthplace of Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you some evidence as to why I believe that is indeed the case. First of all, let's look at the sign that these angels talked about. The sign could only be for these shepherds here. The angels only told the shepherds that they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, as we see in Luke chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "And this will be a sign to you." Here he is talking to these priestly shepherds. "This will be a sign to you that you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." They were not directed by a star as the wise men to go and find the child Jesus. They were not given instructions regarding his locations other than the fact that it's going to be in the city of David. So how do they know where to go? Well, if the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, were in fact priests, then this may explain how the shepherds knew where to go, as the angels never mention a particular place. It is like, unlike the normal shepherds here that don't know all about the exact prophecies that were mentioned in Micah, as the priestly shepherds, they would have thorough knowledge of the scriptures. The angel stated explicitly that it was for a sign for the shepherds. We have no indication in this passage of the scriptures here that the shepherds needed some directions on where to find him and directions on where to go. And I believe they knew exactly where he was, since they would be familiar with the process of caring for sacrificial lambs. And they would have also likely been aware of the prophecies concerning the birth of the Messiah. It would have made perfect sense to them that this newborn king would be born in the birthplace of lambs that were destined to be the sacrifice for the sin of mankind. Notice how the shepherds respond to this announcement in Luke chapter 2, verse 15. "And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" You see here, they knew exactly where to go. Migdal Adar was a place to raise lambs that were going to be used for temple sacrifice. And within this area, within this place, there was a stable that was used for the birthing of the lambs. We refer to it as a birthing stable. Now, upon hearing this, the natural place for them to go would be the birthing area of sacrificial lambs. And they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes as a sign. You see, this was used as a technique for these newborn lambs as well. They would wrap them in swaddling clothes. And as you can see, these stables were not dirty and stinky, smelly kind of that we're accustomed to hearing about, which I was guilty of talking about as well sometimes in my ministry, in an attempt to make Jesus as lowly as we possibly can to ensure that he can relate to the lowest of the lowest in society. We attempt to paint this picture of Jesus being born with multiple barnyard animals with the stench of urine and animal poo. But based on my research, I don't believe that was the case. Temple rituals would be required for the birthing place of these lambs to be ceremonially cleaned. So a lamb used for sacrifice would likely not be born in a dirty environment, as we would think of a stable in our Western mindset, nor would they have been mixing with swine or other animals that were considered unclean in the arrangement. Now, according to historical writings, underneath the watchtower itself was a cave-like portion of that particular watchtower. And this is where the ewes would be taken to be protected and to be cared for while they were delivering their newborn lambs. Now, at some point, they would have to be examined by the priest. These priestly shepherds would come and examine them to make sure that they were fit to be used for sacrifice. And some have even suggested that based on Micah and the type of shepherds they were expecting and watching for the birth of the Messiah. In fact, Jewish and rabbinical tradition names Midol Adar as a place where the long-awaited announcement of the coming of the Savior would occur. So, with this in mind, if Jesus was born in Midol Adar, then there was no need for the angels to give these shepherds directions to the birthplace because they already knew. These were men who raised sacrificial lambs that were sacrificed in the temple. And when the angelic announcement came, they knew exactly where to go. As Luke 2 indicates, for a sign of a manger could only mean their manger at the tower of the flock, Midol Adar. You cannot explain the meaning or direction of the sign they were given or the response unless you have the right manger with the right shepherds. Now, typology with that, Midol Adar at Bethlehem is a perfect place for Christ to be born. Midol Adar is still part of Bethlehem, but it's on the outskirts of Bethlehem, and it's probably what they would refer to as the agricultural zone of Bethlehem. This is where the raising of the lambs would take place. He was born in the very birthplace where tens of thousands of lambs which had been sacrificed prefigured him. God promised it, he pictured it, and he performed it right there at Midol Adar. It all fits together. For that's the place where the sacrificial lambs were born. So it is plausible that Jesus was not born behind an inn in a smelly stable where donkeys of travelers and other animals were kept, but that he was born in Bethlehem at the birthing place of the sacrificial lambs that were offered in the temple in Jerusalem, which Micah 4:8 calls the Tower of the Flock. In Micah 4:8 it says, "And you, O Tower of the Flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughters of Jerusalem." The tower of the flock there, actually in the Hebrew, is Midol Adar. So if you go to the Hebrew language and you actually look at that phrase there, it's actually Midol Adar. And so there is no mistake here, this is a reference to Midol Adar. And it is the place to which the first dominion would come. That is, the manifestation of the majestic presence of God would come according to the prophet Micah. God in Micah 4:8 prophetically foretold that Jesus the Messiah would be born at the tower of the flock, Midol Adar, in a place where lambs were raised and used in the temple sacrifices in Jerusalem, approximately 1 to 3 miles away. Now, it was to the shepherds that tended these special flocks that the angels appeared and first proclaimed the birth of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, twice in John's chapter 1, John makes reference to Jesus as being the Lamb of God. In John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "And the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.'" And in John chapter 1, verse 36, it says, "And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world.'" Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And there are many other passages in the Scripture that also testify that Jesus was the Lamb. In fact, in Revelation, he is referred to as the Lamb 29 times. And so the Bible makes this clear that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God. How fitting for him to be born in the place where lambs are born. This is made possible because he became our sacrifice. God in his plan could not have chosen a more appropriate place for the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But also we look at the fulfillment of the law as well. Yeshua is our Passover lamb. And had he not been born there, then he would not have been eligible as a sacrifice according to the law at that time. in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman." Notice this next bit. "Born under the law." He was born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that He might receive the adoption as sons. Every letter of the law was followed throughout His whole life. It started at His birth. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Do not think I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Christ fulfilled every letter of the law. And this is why I am convinced that Christ had to be born in Midbar Adar. This is where the sacrificial lambs were born and inspected by these priestly shepherds. And so as we think about Jesus Christ, we think about the perfect sacrificial lamb. The sacrificial lamb was wrapped in swaddling clothes or strips of cloth to protect its skin from becoming blemished per the requirements of the law. And as we look at the birth of Jesus Christ, Christ was wrapped in swaddling clothes, which is symbolic of Him being our sacrificial lamb. And then we have the sacrificial lambs born in the birthing stall. When it talks about Christ being born in a manger, if you actually go and look at that word manger and see how it's used throughout Scripture, the word actually means stall. That's what it actually means. It doesn't necessarily mean a manger like you would see here, but it means a stall. And we have these birthing stalls in Midbar Adar where these little lambs were born in order to be sacrificed. And the sacrificial lambs had to be born in Midbar Adar to ensure that the law, according to the law, was to be used as a temple sacrifice. And Christ was born under the law and fulfilled every letter of the law. So it is reasonable that Christ had to be born at Midbar Adar. And the sacrificial lambs had to be born without spot or blemish. And Christ was made perfect. He was born of the Holy Spirit, not of man. He didn't have a sin nature like we all do. And He continued to live a perfect life so that He could be our perfect sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are." Notice that next bit there, "yet without sin." He was perfect. He was our perfect sacrifice. Christmas is not just about the perfect child being born, but rather, it's about the perfect sacrifice. He made a way in a manger to make a way to the cross. All the events surrounding His birth point to the cross. And during this time of year, we often ponder the events surrounding the coming of our Savior. Midbar Adar was dedicated to producing perfect lambs for the temple sacrifices, and it is our reminder that Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, came to be the final sacrifice for our sins. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." It has been said that if you were the only person in the world, that Jesus Christ would have died for you. If you're the only person in the world, that Jesus Christ would have died for you. He loved you so much that He would die for you. But there's also another element of that we need to take into consideration as well. If we were the only person in the world, well, then we would have had to been the one that actually put Him on the cross. Think about that this morning. And He still would have loved you enough to die for you. I cannot comprehend God's love for me. I just have to accept it. And so do you. Midbar Adar reminds us why He came. He was born to die. So this Christmas, remember, it's not about the manger that the child was born in. It's not about the angel. It's not about the announcements of His birth. It's not about the shepherds or the wise men. It's not about the star. It's not about the presents under the tree. It's not about spending time with family. It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about the warm fuzzies we get around this time of year. It's about the perfect Lamb of God being born once and sacrificing His life so that we can be born again. "Unto you a child is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." let's go out this Christmas season and let's celebrate the light that has been given to us. And as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ and we think about the manger, let's also remember that He was born so that we could have salvation and that He could go to the cross. You see, salvation started there, but it didn't end there. And so we're grateful for what Jesus Christ has given to us. And if you're here today and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't have that light within you, then I would love the opportunity to sit down with you this Christmas season and show you in God's Word how you can know for sure that you can have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Because that would be one of the greatest Christmas gifts that you could ever receive, the gift of salvation. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your gift. Lord, I thank You that You gave up heaven and You came to this earth. You took on flesh. And Lord, You were born into this world, and this world that hated You, despised You. And yet, despite that, Lord, You continue to live Your life here, a perfect life, and continue to display Your love for them. Even as far as going to the cross to die for our sins so that we can have salvation, Lord. And so, Lord, we're grateful for Your salvation. I'm grateful that You died for us and that You were buried and You rose again the third day. And, Lord, You defeated death so that we can defeat death one day. And so, Lord, I pray that we understand that this is what Christmas is about, Lord. This is what it represents. That yes, You came as a baby, but You didn't stay a baby, Lord. Christmas goes far beyond that as we take it to the cross and we get that gift of eternal life. So Lord, help us to recognize that here this Christmas season. And we thank You for it. We ask it all in Jesus' name we do pray.